6 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back in to the whole show powered by Chevron. Our text line today, our First Advantage text line, is 888-530-0043. We're going to get into my poll question a little bit later on. Do we like the new rule change in college football with the clock? All of that. But we're going to get into so much of that throughout the course of this week, I'm sure. And every single Monday on this program, we're going to be catching up with the Hugh Millen of KJR. They cover, obviously, the Seattle Seahawks, Washington, of course. He was a Washington legend. Hugh joining me. Do we have Hugh? We're testing him on his Comrex equipment. Hugh, are you there?
Brady, are we good?
Oh, my gosh. We're good. You sound crystal clear. What's that?
A Dixie cup and a long string. Are we connected?
That's exactly what it is, man. But you sound good. How's it feel on your side of things there, man? I mean, can you hear me okay?
It's popping. Yeah, let's hit it, man. There's a lot of stuff going on. Love my time with the Broncos. Love Denver. My wife's from Denver. Our dog is named Denver. And so a lot of connections, of course. Watched Russell Wilson and rooting for the Colorado State Rams all the time. So lots to discuss.
So what's your situation look like later this week, Hugh? You going to be in the area? We got a big game coming up.
Flying up Friday and lots of family, lots of friends coming in. And Clay knows a lot of Cougars. So, it'd be a good challenge and a good opportunity.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be there Saturday, Hugh. So if you're not too busy, shoot me a text. I'll be in the press box.
Let's hook up. Yeah, maybe we get a pop.
Yeah, I would love that. That would be great.
Win or lose.
Win or lose, we can celebrate.
We're going to want to have a cold beverage.
Yes. No, yeah. One would be for celebration, and the other would be, of course, depression sinking in.
Sometimes it plays out that way.
That's just kind of how it goes.
Let's keep it in the universe, the former.
Yes, let's keep the positive vibes. Yes. Last year was a tough go, CSU, Washington State. But again, Hugh, what do you expect? I mean, it's the beginning of this whole thing. We weren't used to this four air raid style. It was a completely different style for CSU. And then Jay Norvell comes in with your son, of course, Clay. We love Clay. And it's one of those offenses that's going to take a little bit of time, especially when the offense before that was, run it for 3 yards, and then just when you think we're going to run it again, we are going to run it again. So it's a completely change of offenses.
Yeah, a lot of youth there, and hopefully, they're investing in Clay, and he had some growing pains, but a lot of good things last year, and I think they feel like, with the youth across the board, you got to come in and establish a new identity for the program, and they're working hard, and Jade Norvell just comes in as so recommended and highly thought of during the recruiting process. Norvell years ago had coached under Jim Mora at the professional ranks, and Jim Mora Jr. was a roommate of mine in college, so we're good friends. I was just in his wedding last summer. And I've known Big Jim Sr. for decades. And so I picked up the phone during the recruiting process to say, hey, tell me about Jay Norvell. Because my son's got a lot of interest in playing for him. And Jim Mora Sr. was just effusive in his praise. And so, in every regard, his knowledge, his connection, work ethic. And his son, Jim Jr., had not given such glowing reports for some other people in the recruiting process. I'm not going to mention names, but it was really eye-opening to hear how lit up Jim Mora Sr. was about Jay Norvell. So, just across the board, that's the kind of reputation that he's built.
Hugh, I'm always curious. We talk to coaches all the time and players all the time about the recruiting process, but from your perspective, it's so fascinating because you're a parent, but you're a football guy. You went through this at different times. What was it like for you? What was that initial process like when you said you're doing the research, you're talking to legends of the game about Jay Norvell? That's got to be, a ringing endorsement right there. But what was that process like as it started to look pretty serious that you knew obviously Clay's going to play college football?
Well, my thing is like, hey, you cannot disappoint me. Whatever you decide, wherever you decide, that's based on your values. I'm going to support. So I was just, taking a step back saying, just you decide. And then because of that, And Clay's older brother, Cale, had preceded him, and he had gone to Oregon. Clay's first Pac-12 offer was to Oregon. They came up, watched him throw as a young kid in practice, and they just offered him on the spot. And then he had offers to Colorado and Oregon State and Arizona, and he had Big Ten offers. So he had some Power Five opportunities, but I thought that he made a really mature decision when he just said, I'm committing to the people. And it was Jay Norvell and it was Matt Mummy, who's his offense coordinator. I really respected it. As I said, I tried to, be hands off and let them be guided by their own values.
Matt Mummy is an interesting guy, and I mean that in the most positive way possible. I love following him on his social media feeds. We've interviewed him several times. That's the kind of guy you talk about grabbing some pops at some point. I'd like to go grab one with him. He seems like a cool dude.
Well, he's a fun guy, and his dad is legendary.
Yeah,
Hal Mummy. I liken it to if you read a Beatles song, and you say, okay, what's the credits? They always say Lennon, McCartney, right? Well, if you just trace the roots of the air raid, it's Mike Leach, Hal Mummy. It's Leach, Mummy, Mummy Leach, right? And so you're literally reading, you're at ground zero when you're learning from Matt, who lived his entire life in this system and having been around Leach and, of course, his dad, Hal, you're just getting it from, the original source, if you will.
Well, there's so much of a football background. I mean, you mentioned those guys there with Matt Mummy's connection with his dad, of course, Mike Leach. I know those two were close. We talked to Matt shortly after Coach Leach's passing, too, and that was a powerful interview. But your football background, Clay's football background, because of you, I mean, Jay Norvell, I mean, literally wrote the book on wide receivers. I mean, and everything he's done in his time in the NFL, too. That's what I look at. And I joked with Clay last week. I said, all this football knowledge from your dad, from your coaches, all these people is now pouring into you. That can be a lot to take sometimes.
It's one of those things where you pick from the best, and I bounced around the league, and even when I was playing for the Broncos, of course, Elway was exponentially a better football player, quarterback than me. The one thing that I had over John, if you can even say I had it over him, is that by bouncing around, I was exposed to more systems. And he would, from time to time, he would ask me, hey, what does this club do? What does that club? Well, that was kind of a precursor to his interest in running a club and what have you. And so I saw a lot of different offenses. For example, I was with the Cowboys backing up Troy Aikman when North Turner was there, and he had learned the system from Ernie Zampezi. And if you follow football, Air Coryell, if you're old enough to know that, that's straight lineage. So I was exposed to that. I was exposed to the West Coast offense with Mike Shanahan and other, the Earhart system, the nomenclature system with Ray Perkins. So all of the major offensive systems I was exposed to. And then when I was coaching Clay in youth football and then in high school and being, the passing game coordinator at the high school level and the head coach at the youth level, Clay was doing literally NFL concepts from fourth grade. Now, they were scaled down. When you go on your computer and you take a vector image and you say, okay, let's say you got a picture of a Corvette and you mouse click on it, and then you take the corner and then you reduce it down in scale, and then now all of a sudden your Corvette got a little smaller on the screen because you reduce it, but it's all to scale. Well, we would take NFL concepts. Take Smash, for example. At the NFL, you might run the corner route at 10 or 12 yards. We would run the exact same. We'd squeeze the split, and then we'd run it maybe 5 to 7 yards on the break. It was the exact same play. Tell them to read it the same. It's just a scaled-down version. So he's been doing that stuff for a long time.
Well, I don't know how you guys are quarterbacks. Everything you just said to me, I could never figure that out, Hugh. This is why I'm sitting here in this chair, and that's where I'll always sit. I can't throw a pass, let alone figure out where it's going to go after I throw it.
Well, you know what? If you ask some of my coaches, they'd say the same about me. But...
Well, I think your resume would beg to differ a bit. How about Russell Wilson's resume, Hugh? It's a different year. Russell Wilson, we got to see him for like 5 seconds in the preseason. That's better than no seconds last season, I guess. But we see the Broncos have an offensive explosion over the weekend. And, of course, yeah. That leads a lot of Broncos fans going, hey, is it Jarrett Stidham? Because the offense actually lit it up for the first time. We haven't said the offense lit it up in like 7 years here. So it was something, I'll tell you.
Well, I don't know what all defenders were playing for the Rams at the
sure,
time.
Sure, right.
But, you know, look, I keep a pretty good tab. Somehow my AI on my phone, Brady, that I've clicked on enough Bronco stuff that my home screen now thinks that I'm like, you know, embedded in Denver, because all I get is Russell Wilson stories and Sean Payton. So I'm reading all the time. And in fact, what I did is real curious. I went back and I said, all right, how bad was Russell? And I have access to the coach's tape, the All-22, the sideline and the end zone copy, what's called the intercut. And I filtered to watch just the fourth quarter. I just wanted to see Russell Wilson on coach's tape to just get a take on what he was doing. And it just shocked me, because remember now, I'm up here in Seattle and I'm a paid analyst for the Seahawks. And I've done pregame, postgame show for the Seahawks for Russell Wilson's entire career, even going back to Matt Hasselbeck. And then I study it all during the week, all the coaches' tape, and do a lot of shows during the week. So, like, I know I have literally studied every single play of Russell Wilson as a Seattle Seahawk. So when I threw on that tape, I couldn't believe what I was watching. I could not believe just his decisions, his lack of awareness about the core structure of the offense. His eyes were in the wrong place all the time. Bad decisions. I mean, that Indianapolis game, I'm sure, you know, sorry to pick scabs, right? But, you know, that was, you know, perhaps the low light. But there were just so many. I just said, I don't even recognize this guy. And so I think what Sean Payton, he's got the benefit, no matter who it was they brought in, I think you would have a different Russell Wilson. Because you talk to people embedded at the Seahawks, you know, even at high levels, I'm not going to name names, but they say Russell Wilson he totally changed. He became a prima donna. He became uncoachable. You can see on the tape that he was resistant to just, you know, like there's some things in reads for a quarterback. It's just really simple. The sun comes up, the rooster crows, ye eat breakfast. Like you got hitch seam, the corner's off, the slot, the defender of the slot can't get to it. Just take one step and just whistle it out to the hitch route. It's a simple 6-yard completion. Like that's just basic execution. And he would just almost seemingly defiantly refuse to do that. So he became hard to coach. And, you know, so different guy. So and then it obviously deteriorated even more with the Broncos last year. So I think that regardless who they brought in, Russell's got, you know, he's at a fork in the road about his career. Think of it like this. You know, if you and I go out and play two games a horse, and I win the first one, you win the second one. Now we play what? The rubber match. We play the third, right? To decide. I feel like if Sean Payton comes in, and Russell Wilson returns to his form, then everybody's going to say, well, Nathaniel Hackett piece, that was a one off. But if Russell Wilson doesn't play well with the new coach, now it's going to be like, well, this is a guy that just, you know, was something good and then lost it. Maybe, you know, who did, you know, Drew Bledsoe had a little bit of that, you know, better early on his career and then just faded and really couldn't do anything at the end of his career. So I think it's almost a rubber match situation for him with Payton. So all of Russell Wilson's attention and his willingness, I think, to get back to being a disciplined quarterback, just take what the offense is designed to take. And I think he'll be receptive to that philosophy.
Yeah, and if it doesn't work this stretch, you're right. My mind's going to go to, okay, was he just more of a byproduct of Seattle's system there? If it does work out, then you're right on that side, too. We go back and say, well, Russ is good. He kind of needs that – that certain type of leadership. What's interesting, Hugh, on this one, Hugh Millen joining us, by the way, has a wonderful resume as a NFL quarterback, Washington quarterback celebrity. And I'm going to call you a celebrity, Hugh, because you're a celebrity. And just looking at this
wing in my house, I am. How about that?
You look at what Sean Payton said, and I want to get into the Hackett comments. We hit that a lot throughout the course of the summer. But it's almost like he doubled down, saying it was Hackett. This was the worst coaching job I've ever seen. So in my mind, Hackett's basically saying Russ is still a great quarterback, or Payton's still saying Russ is still a great quarterback. It was all Hackett. So if Russ fails, is that an indictment on Sean Payton somehow?
Well, I've always been a big Sean Payton fan, but I think that since you brought it up, I think there's no place for that comment. I think you have to respect the game. I didn't even like his apology. I think if you're going to in life, if you're going to apologize, just be all in on your apology. Like, hey, I screwed up. What I said, might have stung you or offended you. I was dead wrong, and you're right to be upset, and I can do nothing but apologize. I think he just said when he says, well, I was a little bit off. I was a little this or, I think there's something more on his fastball for his apology, but that's just a personal opinion. Now, Sean Payton, the coach, I have immense respect, and I think he has a great ability to, it's hard to lead men, where you're just, everybody kind of senses, okay, he's the alpha dog. I've been with coach, I played behind Mike Shanahan, Bill Parcells, Jimmy Johnson, and Don Shula. Hall of Famers, and each of those guys were multiple Super Bowl winners. But I've also played behind some guys that were kind of soft. I mean, if I said the name Marion Campbell to you, you'd have to be almost like a football savant to know that name. But I played for him at the Falcons. He has more the lowest win percentage of any coach that ever coached over 100 games. So I've seen, and I can name some other ones that were poor. So I've seen the contrast. And the good coaches, in addition to playing for Don James, a college Hall of Fame, and John Robinson in the college Hall of Fame, the guys that there's a certain kind of alpha dog mentality, those guys, they don't have to be gruff all the time. That everybody just knows they're the man in charge. And Sean Payton strikes me that way. And in addition to having a really deep understanding about the passing game and how to coach quarterback. So I think they're in good hands, but there can be two truths. Sean Payton's a hell of a coach, and he was dead wrong to say what he said.
Hugh,
that's an opinion, but I'll hold to it.
I agree with those, all of it, because there's parts I like about Sean Payton, there's parts I'm skeptical about, and that certainly was a red flag to me. We'll see how it works out with the Broncos. Let me ask you this quick question here, Hugh. Last season, the Seattle Seahawks make the playoffs. If Russell Wilson was the starting quarterback for the Seahawks last year, are they in the playoffs?
Well, it depends on which Russell Wilson. We've seen more than one Russell. The one that I just watched the tape of, all those fourth quarter, he just was completely detached from the ordinary machinery of making the offense go. It just eyes were in the wrong place and didn't throw it particularly well. Just made really bad decisions. So Geno Smith is a skilled guy, and I know we're in a Denver market. Nobody wants to hear about Geno Smith, but a longtime backup, but with a good toolbox skill set wise, and he played pretty well. He tailed off. His second half of the year wasn't as good as first. They finished 9-8, so he's still got stuff to prove. But I think that everybody in Seattle, and certainly you're as invested as you can be in Denver about Russell, it's definitely palms up. This guy seemed to be on a for sure lock to make the Hall of Fame. They're going to call him a 9-time Pro Bowler over and over again, and he's a 5-time Pro Bowler, which is a lot, but it's not 9. He was those four were alternates, so his Hall of Fame candidacy may rest around little details like that. It's possible that he could play himself out of the Hall of Fame. Bronco fans, we're all hoping that he gets back on track.
Oh yeah, it's must-see television here. When you either way, whether you're rooting for Russ or you're done with the Russ experiment, it is must-see because he is. You're right. He's on the cusp. No matter how strict your Hall of Fame discussion might be, Russell Wilson is on the cusp there, but He's by no means in, I don't believe. One more on the Seattle side of things. I continue to root for Drew Lock. I was a big Drew Lock guy here. I was kind of one of the idiots saying, stay the course with Drew Lock. You don't need to trade the farm for Russell Wilson. See what happens there. From what I've seen in spurts of Drew in this preseason, he's looked pretty good. I didn't watch the game over the weekend, Hugh, but is there still a scenario where Drew Lock potentially could become the starting quarterback for the Seahawks midway through the season?
Sure. I mean, he's 26 years old, and Geno Smith is going to be the unquestioned starter. But if there's injury, I think Drew Lock has really stepped in. To give you an idea of it, last year, regular season, you know Pro Football Focus, right? All 32 teams subscribe to Pro Football Focus. They have a metrics they call a big time throw. It's obviously subjective, but they probably run it through some rubric to make a big time throw. Josh Allen a year ago was number one in the NFL. He had 44 big time throws for the season, and remember this number, 7.4%. That was highest in the NFL. So if you're producing a big time throw, 7.4%. You led the NFL. You're Josh Allen from a year ago. In preseason this year, Drew Lock was number one in the NFL in big-time throws at 8.5%. Remember, 7.4 for Josh Allen a year ago.
Wow.
Now, I understand there's differences preseason and all, but the guy has got a ton of talent. Live arm, as you know, big guy, moves well, quick release. The question is, really playing the position is just, at his simplest form, is, you know, throw it to the right guy at the right time accurately. And I think where Locke got into trouble is he believed in his arm maybe a little bit too much, and he took some chances, a little reckless with the ball, and that got him sideways with some coaches. But the toolbox that he has, the physical toolbox, he's got a lot of tools. And he put it on display this summer for Seattle. Beautiful mechanics, playmaking ability, and down the field playmaking ability. It was fun to watch him. He has starter traits for sure. He's a young guy. When he gets his opportunity, he makes those good decisions in the manner I described. Real easy, right? Throw it to the right guy at the right time. What's hard about that, Brady? You do that, you can make $250 million. Not that hard.
Yeah, you could coach me, maybe we could do that.
Yeah,
Hugh,
yeah. So, but obviously it's multi-layered. What goes into all that, but if he gets that part of it, the toolbox is there. There's a lot of guys you see in the NFL, the Nick Mullins types, that you say, okay, he's a backup quarterback, their team feels good about him, but Drew Lock's twice the physical player of, the majority of the backup players in this league. So we'll see. It'll be something I'm sure you guys will be watching.
Yeah, it'll be another side note to hit with you. Hugh Millen joining us, analyst for KJR in Seattle. Hugh, last one for you. I'm getting texts that are like, Brady, you're turning this into the Washington show. I've got guys with Washington connections left and right on this program. You, of course, your son with those connections. And then I had Jacob Sermon on, the starting quarterback for the Bears. You know Jake.
Yeah, I do. He coached at Bothell. Quarterbacked at Bothell, and he's a highly recruited guy, and went on to play for the Huskies, and he's a big guy for sure. Big, thick guy, and I know his career hasn't gone the way he wanted it to, but we'll be pulling for him at Northern Colorado.
Yeah, maybe he can turn it around coming up this season. They start their season on Thursday against Abilene Christian in Texas. It'll be nice and toasty down there. Hugh, appreciate you, my friend. Next week, if you're game for it, maybe I'll bust into some predictions for you for like some Russ predictions, Broncos predictions, throw in some college predictions, where these teams are going to end up. Where's Washington State going to be, potentially? Would like to know all those coming up.
You got the hand on the wheel, man, 10-2. You drive this thing, and we'll go along for the ride. It's all good.
All right, and I'm going to hold you to it. At least shoot me a text. I'll be in the press box on Saturday, so at least say hi. But if you're game, we'll go find a place to get a nice, cool beverage somewhere.
Yeah, I'll text you early on and see if we can't connect.
All right, that sounds good, my friend. Hugh, appreciate
you. Thanks so much,
Brady. Hugh Millen with KJR AM Radio out of Seattle. He is awesome. Got to know him really last year through my connection with Clay. And then as I learned more about him, I'm like, wait, you're Hugh Millen. You were a backup to John Elway. You are an analyst for the Seattle Seahawks. We got to do something here. So Hugh's going to join us every single Monday. Action-packed football nonstop here on the whole show. 30 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out. We'll take a quick break here. When we do, when we come back, let's do the good, the bad, the ugly, since we didn't hit that at the beginning of the show. Mondays are going to be completely different for us. Wild, like a roller coaster in a very positive way. We'll do the good, the bad, the ugly coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
No more gimmicks. No more jokes. Just the games. Broncos games are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.